We're live. Oh, we're live. I didn't know we were live. Let's stand. Praise God. I'm in another world, I guess. Are you ready to worship the Lord? Are you ready to sing? Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hearts and voices to the Lord and praise and worship and adoration to our Savior. Hallelujah.
How many of you are singing this morning already? How many of you are taking the challenge to sing the praises of our Lord? Sometimes we come in here, if we're honest, we come in here and we get distracted. You know, we're thinking about what happened maybe in the parking lot. We're trying to drag our kids in here and they weren't cooperating. And for some reason, you know, you put their shoes on, but they took them off in the 3 blocks it took you to get here. And you're not understanding. And you're like, we were going to be on time today, but you're a little late and whatever it may be. But you know what? I just want to challenge you this morning to remove all distractions from your mind and just focus in on the Lord today. And let's just say to the Lord, you know what? I'm going to give you the best I've got in these next little bit of time as you speak to us through your word and as we sing and lift up our praises to him. Does that sound good? Sound good? All right, let's unite in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we've come into this place and we speak against distraction. We speak against illness. We speak against anything, discouragement, or anything else that the enemy would bring against us that would cause us to not be able to focus in on what you are going to do here today. Lord, we ask right now that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, you would fill our spirits today. Lord, you would lift us up. And may, Lord, we leave here different than when we came. May we be filled with your spirit. May we be filled and renewed with your joy and your energy. And may, Lord, you be honored with the praises of your people today. Lord, we just ask right now that you would just inhabit the presence of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes. Want to say thank you so much if you're here today visiting with us. Yeah, we'd ask that you would find the visitor card in the seat back in front of you. And if you'd fill that out, in a few moments, we're going to be receiving the tithe and offering. And you can put that card right in there. And that'll give us a record of your attendance and lets us know that you came to hang out with us today and worship with us today. And we want to say welcome. And we're happy that you're here today worshiping with us. Man, we have several announcements, and the first of which is that we have water baptism that is going to be happening in just about 5 or 6 weeks from now, but we'll start signing up for that. If you maybe have made a decision for the Lord and yet you haven't yet followed in the obedience with the scripture and you would like to be baptized, or maybe you've been baptized before but you just want to renew that commitment, that'd be okay too, Pastor, right? And so we would love to allow you and to participate with you as you are baptized in water. And so Pastor Steve can give you more details about that if you need any questions answered. In just 2 weeks, can you believe that we are going to be in September here? In just 2 weeks from today, we have Connect Group starting again. And so we have, yes, amen. And so let's give a hand clap for that. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We have multiple groups. Pastor Steve has one, myself, Pastor Chad, George Smith leads one. I'm gonna get myself in trouble here. Jeremy Caldwell leads one, and we have one for the kids also. And Glenna Balmer leads one. And so, Glenna, wave to me. Come on, wave, Glenna. There you go. And so we've got 6 adult Connect groups and also a kids Connect group that meets here on campus. And so next week, be looking at the table out in the foyer. Be looking for that, and we'll have all the information out there, and you can start signing up. It's a great way to connect with people, have food, have fun, and have some fellowship, and learn together also. And so we want you to be a part of that. Also, the women's conference is coming up. Maybe you've already signed up, or maybe you haven't, but either way, if you have not paid your registration, you can find my wife Kelly. She's right back there. Wave. She's right there on the back row. And you can turn your registration money into her, and she'll get that in the right place. We're looking forward to a great time together, a group of ladies going and being a part of that. I know they have great worship, great speakers, and it's just an encouraging time. And so we would love for you to be a part of that. How many saw the big calendar out in the foyer? It's just, it's our a September to Remember calendar. We're challenging everybody to sign up for one day where you would fast in the month of September. We've got almost every day covered. And our prayer would be that every day would be covered by at least one person. And it's okay if there's 5 or 6 people on a day. That's fine too. But we just want, at any given time in the month of September, we want somebody in our church or multiple somebodies to be fasting and praying for our nation. And so that's the emphasis for September. I'd love for you to just take the red Sharpie back there, put your name on there, and that way we kind of know that all the days are covered and who's fasting on what day, and we'll just do that together. And you know we're better together than we are by ourselves. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have a church work day coming up on September 19th, and we have projects that are going to be indoor, outdoor. Those of you that have a lot of skill building and doing things, and then those of you who are like me, who don't They don't let me have tools. And so either way, we'll have something for everybody, and love for you to sign up and be a part of that. Once again, we're better together than by ourselves, and we've just got some projects around here to help our facility, our physical facility, to look the best it can for the Lord. We have the missions convention coming up this next month. We're always going to be a church, a missions giving church, and we want you to be a part of that too. And so at this time, I would ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. Let them get in position here, and then we're going to receive the tithe and offering, and then we're going to go right back into worship. So once the offering bag passes you, you can stand back up and enter right back into worship with us. And all right, Lord, we thank you so much for all that you blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, for your hand not only upon our people, not on upon the physical facility and upon our missions, but also, Lord, just upon our finances. And, Lord, we pray that you would take everything given, multiply it, and may it further the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. Hallelujah. Would you stand after the offering passes you? We're going to continue right back into worship. We're going to begin back with an old hymn of the church entitled, He Keeps Me Singing. Aren't you glad the Lord keeps us singing? Amen. I love to sing and praise and worship the Lord, don't you? Amen. Praise God. Go ahead.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In our life, life's ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing.
love you, Lord, today. Thank you, Jesus. Promises we have in Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. And we lift our voice to you today. And we lift our hands to you today. We lift our praise. We worship you. Oh, Jesus. 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 Touch, Lord, your people today. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
more time. Hallelujah, we lift it to you, Lord. Yes, I love. To the Lord and praise Him today. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we lift our voices in praise to you this morning. We lift our hearts and our hands in praise. Oh, Lord, we give you thanks today. Blessing and glory and honor and power be unto you, our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we pray that you would touch some needs this morning. I pray that you would be with Tyler Garrett, who pulled his hamstring and may have to have surgery. I pray that you would just touch and heal him. I pray for Tony Morgan's brother, Tim, who was diagnosed with a brain tumor. We pray that, Lord, that you would heal him as he's facing surgery. I pray that they get all of this tumor and there's no long-lasting problems with him. Father, we pray for Rhoda's cousin Frank in the hospital. We pray for Melissa Clark's nephew Tucker. We pray that you just touch him this morning in Children's Hospital. Lord, we pray for those who are battling the virus this morning, various churches and friends and people that I know, Lord, that are in need of a healing touch in their body. Father, we pray for Chester Cooley's family, Pastor Chester Cooley, who passed away of the virus this week. I pray that you would comfort his family and those who are connected to him, Lord, and knew him so well. I know the Gherkins, good friends with them. We pray that you would just be with them as they have his memorial service this week. Lord, we pray for those that were in the path of Hurricane Laura down south. We pray that you would touch those whose lives were affected. I know there were lives that passed into eternity because of this storm, and I know that there was a lot of destruction along the coast and in our cities there. And we pray that you would just minister to those, help those, Father God, who were affected, we pray. And thank you for those who have gone in to bring relief and help and supplies and attention, medical attention and other attention to these areas. Just bless them, we pray. Father, we continue to pray for our nation, the nation we love so much. We pray for America today, the land of the free and the home of the brave. We pray, Father God, for healing in our land as we have continued to pray, Lord, that you reach down and that you touch and you minister. Touch our president, those in authority. Be with us in the election, Lord, in a month or so. We pray that you would just let your kingdom come and your will be done in the United States of America. And we do pray for Israel today. We pray that you would bless and prosper this land. We pray, Father God, your hand be upon every person in this service and those watching via computer, via the internet. We pray that you would bless them today and that you would touch them and help them. Father, we just commit ourselves to you today. We love you, Lord, as we've just sang. We lift our voice to you and we sing to you and we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, for that opportunity today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
Amen, amen. Thank you for Sister Linda Robbins playing today. Don and Sandra had to be gone, as Sandra's brother, Tom Holder, has pastored the same church in Oklahoma City for 41 years, Grand Boulevard Assembly of God, and he is retiring, and so several of his family that are in our church and others have gone up there for his final service there, him and Diane Holder. And so we thank the Lord for the time that he has given there and the souls that have been touched and saved in that ministry there in South Oklahoma City. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to two different places. First of all, Psalm 34 and also Psalm 89. I believe it's up there on the screen behind you. In a message I've entitled The Voice. Not talking about the popular talent show that so many of you are familiar with and as I've watched and you've probably watched. We're not going to talk about this morning, but we are going to talk about the duty and the delight of lifting up our voice. Amen. So read with me in Psalm 34, the first five verses. I will praise the Lord most of the time. Do what? Oh, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. And then in Psalm 89, just the first verse, I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. There used to be a song that we sang several years ago based on that verse from the King James Version. It was, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. And with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all what? Generations. Yes, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. It didn't say I might sing. I'll think about singing. I'll sing if the Spirit hits me. It says I will sing. It's a choice that we make. Father God, bless this service this morning. Bless this message that you've laid on my heart for this Sunday morning. And I pray that you speak to all of our hearts about the importance of our voice. In Jesus' name, amen. God gave us a voice in order to do several things, all of which are commanded in Scripture. So I want us to examine these commands this morning, how we can better use the voice that God has blessed us with for his glory. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, now use your voice and say amen once in a while. Amen. It'll help me out, and I need a lot of help. That was not the time to say amen. I knew somebody was going to do that. Lord, you know who that was. What does the Bible say will happen if we keep quiet? It says the rocks will cry out. In Luke 19:40, it says if you keep quiet and you don't sing praise, the stones will cry out. The rocks will cry out. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to give you five areas where we are commanded to use our voice. Five areas where we are commanded to use our voice. Number one, and this is the first one that I thought of when immediately I began thinking about this subject, is to praise and worship the Lord. To praise and worship the Lord. We just read
two different places. When I tell you, for the two that I've read in Scripture about singing and worshiping the Lord, there are hundreds more. I just picked out a couple of passages. And so this was the first thing that came to my mind in thinking about praising the Lord and singing, because I happen to love to praise the Lord. I happen to love to sing. I've always loved music. I've always loved to sing. And I know you don't know that and couldn't tell that. But anyway, I do. I love to sing. The Bible says in Psalm 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. Everybody say, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to praise. If you want to know what you need to do that's a good thing, one of the things you can do is just simply praise the Lord. One of the best ways to start each day is to start with praise. To start with praise. It gets you off on the right foot. It makes you smile. Are y'all smiling? Can y'all smile at me? I'm trying to smile at you and talk at the same time. That's hard to do, kind of. Yes, it gets us smiling. It puts a smile on our face. And you know else? Who else's face it puts a smile on? It puts a smile on God's face. God loves to hear his children praise him. You want to make God smile? Just start lifting up a praise to him and he'll smile. The Bible says in Psalm 22:3 that, and Pastor Phil mentioned this earlier, that he is enthroned or inhabits the praises of Israel, the praises of his people. The Lord inhabits, or he dwells in our praise. You want to feel the Lord's presence near you? You just start praising him, because when you praise him, he comes near to you. One person that isn't smiling when we praise the Lord is who? That old dirt devil. We talked about that on Wednesday night. We talked about the devil being the dirt devil. So you'll have to check out Wednesday night service if you missed it online to figure out what we were talking about. Elena Wednesday night reminded me of a story I've told before, and it just happened to fit, Elena, with what I was talking about. About the time I was driving down the road and the devil got in the car with me. I've told this before, but some of you new may not have heard this, but I was driving down the road one day, and man, the devil, he got in the car with me, and he started just ransacking my mind, telling me how terrible I was and depressing me and discouraging me, and I was just feeling lower, kind of sinking down in the seat. I thought, I am no good to nobody or anything, and this has been probably, well, it was before I even came here. It was over 28 years ago. And it was up in Enid. I remember exactly what road I was on. And I had a 1980 Olds Tornado I was driving. I remember this particular car I was in. And I was sitting there and I was listening to him. And I thought, man, I just feel horrible. I just don't even think I want to be in the ministry any longer. Lord, I'm done. And all of a sudden it occurred to me that I was listening to the devil. I thought, you know, I'm just listening to the old dirt devil, the old dirt bag himself. And so you know what I did? I just got off on the side of 412 there running west out of Enid, going to my house in Lahoma, and I pulled that Tornado off on the side of the road. And I got out, and I put my flashers on. I walked around the side of the car. I opened up the door. I said, devil, get out. I shut the door. I got a smile on my face, and I got back in my car, and I started praising the Lord and lifting my hands. And there was just victory in just that one little act of saying, devil, you are not going to defeat me. You are not going to depress me. Jesus is my Savior. I'm going to lift up the one who saved me, who filled me with the Spirit. Jesus, thank you for coming to my rescue. Hallelujah. There is power, church, in praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. One of my favorite Imperial songs. If any of you know anything about, you know I love the group, the Imperials, that was so popular, especially in the 70s and 80s. But there's a song by that title called Praise the Lord. How many of you know that song? Can we sing some of that? I know it's a cappella here, but can we? Let me take a drink of water first. I just love this song. But you know what? The one reason I want to sing it and us sing it together, if you know it, we're going to sing it acapulco style. I mean acapella. Is because it's so appropriate for what's all happening in our world right now. But it goes like this. When you're up against a struggle
that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes. And you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen and the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they draw powerless behind you when you praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. When you praise Him. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting me sing that song. I love that song. Friends, we are up against some struggles. There are some earthly fears. But by praising and worshiping the Lord, our hearts can be calmed, our spirits can be lifted, and a smile can move up on our face. Amen. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Let all God's children lift up praise. There's a, in the Pentecostal Evangel several years ago, there was an article that J.K. Gressett writes about a man named Samuel S. Skull, who settled on a farm in the Arizona desert with his wife and children. One night, a fierce desert storm struck with rain, hail, and high wind. At daybreak, feeling sick and fearing what he might find, Samuel went to survey the loss. The hail had beaten the garden and the truck into pieces. The house was partially unroofed. The hen house had blown away, and dead chickens were scattered about. Destruction and devastation were everywhere. While standing dazed, evaluating the mess and wondering about the future, he heard a stirring in the lumber pile, and that was the remains of the hen house. A rooster was climbing up through the debris, and he didn't stop climbing until he had mounted the highest board in the pile. That old rooster was dripping wet, and most of his feathers were blown away. But as the sun came over the eastern horizon, he flapped his bony wings and proudly crowed. That old wet bear rooster could still crow when he saw the morning sun. And like that rooster, our world may be falling apart. We may have lost everything, but if we trust in God, we'll be able to see the light of God's goodness, pick ourselves out of the rubble, and sing the Lord's praise. Can you say amen? Woo! Amen. Praise God. Praise God. One more passage from the Bible about praise, and like I said, there's many. But Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4 says, "Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of His name. Tell the world how glorious He is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs." Amen. I like that word shout as well. I think sometimes we Christians have lost our shout. Let me say that again. I said, sometimes I think we Christians has lost our shout. We don't have a problem going to a football game finding our shout. When the Bears are taking on the demons from Ardmore, I've seen many of you shouting, come on, Bears! Or when the Sooners are taking care of business in Lubbock with the Red Raiders, I've been around some of you, and you don't lose your shout then, but you come to church, and it's just like, oh boy, I'm sitting here. I have no shout. We need to shout it out. And that's a good detergent helper too, I guess. We need to learn to shout. Can we practice a shout? I count to three. Can we just shout hallelujah? It'd be good for some of you to do that. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Again, one, two, three. Hallelujah! Now, didn't that feel good? Amen. We expect that to continue. Amen. So who said that amen real loud? That's awesome. Yeah, whoever that was. Amen. Kelvin, thank you. Way back in the sound booth. Amen. We got to shout. We got to lift up a shout. Lift up joy. Lift up our praise. Hallelujah. We're just too quiet sometimes. And I'm that way sometimes. So first of all, we were given a voice to praise and worship the Lord. Second of all, we were given a voice to communicate and encourage. To communicate and encourage. It's how we live. It's how we do business. It's how we speak to others. We're glad we have a voice. And we can do so in a limited way without a voice. I know some people that through sickness or other reasons cannot speak or in a very limited way. And they have to write everything down or do sign language or something like that. And that... We are blessed. We are blessed, are we not, that we still have a voice, that we can sing and talk and communicate and tell jokes with and just do everything that we use our voice for. So aside, though, from the daily ways in which we use our voice, I would like to zero in on one particular thing that we all can really appreciate and that we can use more of in our world, and that is encouragement. We can communicate and encourage. We said this several years ago in a message, lift up, build up, cheer up. One of the things that you can do with your voice is lift up others, build up and encourage them. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Oh, to have somebody just speak a positive, encouraging word to you is like just a super blessing. You know, because words enter into a person's spirit. And it can either win them or it can wound them. You know, I can remember positive words spoken to me at particular times throughout my life. I remember various people at points that just, for some reason, their words to me stuck out. I remember something they told me and it really blessed me. I remember a particular an evangelist that came to our church in Enid there before we moved here, that he just was one of the most encouraging evangelists. I don't even remember his name, to tell you the truth. But he spoke some words to me that just really encouraged me a whole lot. And I think it one of the things that inspired me to go on to pursue being a pastor. But you know what else? I remember some things that weren't always so nice that were said to me. It's terrible that we remember both, isn't it? I can remember something, you know, that somebody said to me. I remember something, I won't tell you what it was, but something that was said to me when I was 8 years old that has stuck with me for 51 years. And if I could dwell on that, it would really bring me down. But you know what? I'm not going to dwell on that. But the point of the matter is our words have power. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue can bring death or it can bring life to people. Our words can build up others or they can blow up others. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken. I'm sorry, I think I've already said this, didn't I? I'll say it again. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. We remember both of these words, and they affect us both good and for bad. In the book, Draw the Circle, once again by my fellow pastor and author, Mark Batterson, he gives an illustration that is powerful and right and on point. He says, Lori Beth Jones has stated that at least 40% of our lives are based on personal prophecies. I'm not sure how to substantiate this statistic, but I find it very believable. The right word spoken at the right time can make an eternal difference. In The Power of Positive Prophecy, Jones gives a great example of how one prophetic word can change a person's destiny. And this person writes, I grew up in an alcoholic household where I never heard a positive word. On my way home from school, I would always stop at Jimmy's, the local dry cleaner, because he kept candy on the counter. He got to know me and told me one afternoon, Michael, you are a very smart boy. Someday you are going to run a very big business. I would listen to him in disbelief and return home only to get called a dog and knocked around by my dad. But you know, Jimmy, the dry cleaner, was the only person I can remember believing in me. Today, I run a multi-million-dollar healthcare organization, just like Jimmy predicted. I guess you could say that a dry cleaner was the prophet in my life. You may not see yourself as a prophet, but you are one. You're a prophet to your friends. He says, as I write about in praying circles around your children, parents are prophets to their children. You're a prophet at work and a prophet at home. And your words have the potential to change lives by helping people discover their identity and their destiny in Jesus Christ. So let's be encouragers. And let's use the voice that God gave us to speak into someone else's life. Amen? So not only do we have a voice to praise and worship, not only do we have a voice to lift up and encourage, but number three, we have a voice to teach and to preach. To teach and to preach. Now, some of you immediately said, now hold on, Pastor Steve. I'm not a teacher and I'm not a preacher. Well, maybe not as an official title. But trust me, you are a preacher and you are a teacher, especially in your own home and around the people who know you. You do preach and teach all the time, every day. What we say and what we do is viewed and speaks to those around us, as I said, especially in our own homes. Parents, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That is so true. Your life preaches and teaches as well as your voice, either for good or bad. You either preach bad sermons or good sermons. You either teach bad things or good things by your words and by your example. Your teaching and your sermons are either drawing people to Christ and to do right, or they are leading people, family and friends, to do wrong and move away from God and what is right. And one day we will all give an account. The Bible says we're all going to give an account to the Lord for everything we've said and everything we have done, even for the tone of our voice. We're going to stand before God one day. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15 is good for us to remember concerning the duty we have to preach and teach the good news. It says, Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never even heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Who bring good news. I hope your feet are beautiful. I hope that your feet are beautiful in the sense that you love to lift up Christ, that you love to preach and teach good sermons, that you love to prayerfully and powerfully tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ and be an example. So our voices is lifted up to praise and worship, to communicate and encourage, to preach and teach. Number four, our voice is also used to witness and win people to Christ. Now, this really goes along with the last point, but the difference is this, and this is why I made it a separate point. The third point was more about happenstance. You're either going to preach good or bad. Everything you say, everything you do, you don't have to be intentional about it. You're doing it all the time, whether you realize it or not. What I'm talking about is intentional, where you are knowing in your heart, you are asking the Lord, Lord, help me witness to someone. Lord, lead me to someone that I can share Jesus with. And you're being intentional about it. That's the point of the Great Commission that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. He says, 16 through 20, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Church, we've been given a mandate, and you know this. We have been given a mandate to witness and to win the lost using whatever means we can by the authority of Christ himself. He backs us up. He empowers us. He guides us to each mission that he puts before us to seek and to save the lost. We have a heavenly assignment to use this voice that we've been given to tell others that Jesus saves, to tell them that heaven is for real, to tell them that salvation is in and through Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you can't get there any other way. He's the only way to heaven. We also have a responsibility and an assignment to tell people that Jesus is coming back again, just as he said. We must be intentional. We must look for ways to lift up Christ every day. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad someone was intentional about reaching you? You're all here this morning because somebody took serious the gospel mandate that I just read to you to go and to tell others about Jesus. I'm thankful for that. There are people out there within your spheres of influence that don't know Jesus. You are their pipeline of God's grace. You are their lifeline. You are the one they're watching. You are the one that has the responsibility to pray for them and ask God to give you words to say and the timing to say them and the opportunity to lift up Christ and to let the Holy Spirit draw them. Don't you know the Holy Spirit's good at drawing people? Pastor Phil and Kelly and Carol and I went to a banquet Friday night, a Gideon's banquet up in Oklahoma City, and they gave some wonderful testimonies just about the power and this of the gospel, the power of God's word. And I'm holding up the whole Bible, but they just talked about just a little New Testament and different testimonies of people's lives that were changed just because someone handed them a New Testament. And then the Holy Spirit took over. And God began to lead them to read the Bible. And God began to open their mind and see, wow, you know what? This is real. This is real stuff. I feel the Holy Spirit. These aren't just words on a page. This is reality. And how their lives were changed. I wish I could have that person that told the testimony of going to the army I would love. He lives in Maine, so it'd be a long way to get him to come. But he had an awesome testimony of his days in the Army when somebody gave him a little issued New Testament and what God did in his life. Hallelujah. This word is not just words, it's power. These are God words. And when we witness for the Lord smiles and the Lord moves by his Spirit to open up opportunities to be able to lead that person to Jesus Christ. We can't leave soul winning to chance. We can't wait till we get around to it in our pocket before we decide we're going to lift up Jesus. We need to be filled with God and his Spirit so full that when somebody bumps us, we just splash out Jesus. You ever had a cup so full? You know, maybe you get a cup of coffee and they just keep pouring and they get it right to the brim and you're afraid to even move because it's going to splash out. I think we need to be so full of the Spirit, somebody just barely bumps us and Jesus just came out, you know. Incidentally, what's inside of you does come out when you're bumped in many different ways. Somebody might bump you and you just lash out in some kind of tirade. Well, that's what's inside of you. When you're bumped, Jesus needs to come out. Amen. Just bump your neighbor right now. See if Jesus comes out. No, don't hit him, Josh. All right. I know Jesus would come out of Kira. I know that. Okay, so you're all right. Pray for open doors. Pray for divine opportunities so that Jesus comes out of us at every opportunity. Finally, number five, not only do we praise the Lord, not only do we lift up and encourage, not only do we preach and teach, not only do we witness and win, but number five, probably the greatest thing we can do with our voice is to pray and seek God. Pray and seek God. The greatest privilege and blessing of all. And you know, I say this is probably the greatest privilege and the greatest one of all five because how we do with this one affects the other four dramatically. How we pray and that we seek God and we seek his presence and come into the Lord's presence through our prayer time and through our spending time with the Lord when nobody else is around. You know, our public image and our public ministry, whether you're a pastor or a lay minister, is directly proportional to the private time you spend with the Lord. If you don't have any private time with the Lord when nobody's seeing and you're praying and reading, you're not going to do much behind the pulpit or behind your pulpit. So prayer is directly proportional to how well the other flows. I mean, if you are prayed up and full of the Lord, you'll have no problem singing and praising and worshiping the Lord and lifting your voice. Amen? You just can't help it. It'll just, boy, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. If you're prayed up, you'll want to praise him. And if you're prayed up, you'll communicate and encourage others just as a residual effect of the Spirit's fullness in your life. Like I said, just being bumped. It'll just, someone talks to you or bumps you or says anything, it'll just happen. You'll just encourage them and you'll just communicate God's love to them. If you're prayed up, you'll definitely be positively preaching and teaching with power. It'll make a difference in what you say and how you say it. And fourthly, if you are prayed up and you've been seeking God, you'll boldly anticipate your next divine appointment to be able to witness to someone and lead them to Christ. You won't dread it. Oh, I hope the Lord doesn't have me witness to somebody. Oh, I'm so scared. No, you'll want it. Lord, bring it on. Bring it on. Let me witness to him, Lord. Empower me. I can't do it in me, but Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, empower me. And I want to lift you up wherever I go. I want to win people to Christ. I want my life to shine for you. If you're prayed up, you'll anticipate that. You'll get up every day out of bed wondering, okay, who am I going to get to lift up Christ to today? All with this thing we call the voice. The voice. Prayer is the pipeline of God's blessing, power, and grace and strength to live this life the way God wants to and the way we really want to. You see, I think most Christians really want to live more victoriously than they do. Even the Apostle Paul, I think, would say that because he said, I press on to take more and more of the Lord. I don't claim to have arrived. Lord, I need more of you. And prayer is the pipeline that brings that to us. The more you pray, the more you will obey. The more you pray and seek God, the more at peace you will be. When the storms of life are swirling all around you, people look at you and go, man, all this going on, all this even going on in your life, how do you have such peace? How can you be smiling with all this stuff? What an opportunity right there to say, well, let me talk to you for a moment. Let me tell you about Jesus. Because he's the one that can still the storm. He's the one that can give me peace in the storm. Because he changed my life and he'll change your life too. Amen. The more you pray, the more stronger you will be. Consequently, the less you pray, the less you use your voice to pray, the more troubled, the more perplexed, the more anxious you will be. And let me say this, God longs, I mean, he really longs and looks forward to hearing your voice. He loves to FaceTime with you. Seems like I heard a message not too long ago about that. Maybe last Sunday. He wants to FaceTime with you. He wants to bless you as you seek his presence. He wants to show you his glory. He wants to show up and give you his peace and his presence as you FaceTime in a sense with him. And listen to me here. Don't think for a minute that you have to be like so-and-so for God to really hear you. You think, well, if I were just more like so-and-so, I know God would hear me, but it's just me. It's just me. Don't say it's just me. God created just you the way you are. He wired you the way you are. He made some of you more reserved, kind of like me. And he made some of you more crazy and wild like him. And there's everybody in their own way, has their own style, has their own personality. But I want to tell you, God made you on purpose, for a purpose. Don't think you have to be like somebody else. I used to play that game. Well, I'm not like this pastor or that pastor. I wish I was more like them. And it's only been in recent years that the Lord has said, Steve, why don't you just be you? Why don't you just be the best you can be and let everybody else alone, let them be who they're going to be? And, you know, I've really been at peace with that. I thought, you know, I'm finally, after all these years, at peace with just being me. I'm not Pastor Phil. I never will be. Never will be. I'm not Robert Smith. I'm not Ronnie Boggs. I'm not Tim Shortis. You are you and I am I. And God wants to hear your voice regardless of who you are. He longs to hear your voice. He loves to hear thoughts and expressions and concerns and petitions come from your mouth because he loves you. John Fisher writes, I have a bad habit. When my children tell me about something they've learned for the first time, I often act as if I knew that. Even worse, sometimes I tell them how the same thing happened to me years ago. When my wife hears something new from the kids, her mouth drops open and her eyes widen. It's as if she's never heard this kind of thing before. The kids' faces brighten and they feel as if they've actually enlightened their mother. I used to think my wife was just acting, and sooner or later the kids would find out and feel lied to. Then I realized it isn't an act at all. Though she may have already experienced it, what they are trying to tell her, she's never experienced it through them. Their personal revelations are entirely new. It's the same with God. As all-knowing and sovereign as He is, I'm sure He's still eager to hear our prayers because He has never heard it quite the way we say it. We are all unique. We have our own signature attached to all we do and say. Our lives, our experiences, and our faith expressed to Him are never old. I thought that is so very true. He wants to hear you pray. He wants you to use your voice and lift up your hands to do His will, to lead, to guide, to bless you with His favor and grace, regardless of what's happening around you. Amen. So in conclusion, the musicians come, singers. We have a final song we're going to sing together in a moment. So there you have it, the voice to worship and praise. I encourage you, use your voice. Don't just think it in your mind. Can you imagine singing Amazing Grace with your mind? I'm singing. Can you hear me? I just said, like me. Lost. See. There. Now, that blessed my thought life. Nothing wrong with that. You know, we are to think on these things, as Paul said. But how much better would it have been for you and for me to hear me sing Amazing Grace? You know, I drive down the road singing. If I ever am driving in my car, or my truck, rather, next to you, and you look over and my mouth is moving, think he's talking to myself, himself? Well, I am probably, but I'm really singing. I'm singing. I sing a lot in the truck. Use your voice to praise and worship. Use your voice to communicate and encourage. See who you can lift up this week and encourage. Send them a note, or send them a text, or send them an email, or call them on the phone, or go by their house at 6 in the morning. No, maybe you shouldn't do that. Surprise! Teach and preach. Use your voice, the voice. Teach and preach. Again, I know not everybody's a preacher, teacher, but yes, you are. Witness and win. Who can you witness to? Lord, lead me to somebody today. And then finally, most importantly, pray and seek God. And you can pray while you're going down the road too, just don't close your eyes. I can't think of any better ways to use the voice God has given us. Amen? I close with one last scripture, Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Is that your prayer? Lord, may my words and my thoughts bring praise and glory to you, not just today on Sunday while I'm in church, but 365 days a year. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to come back and sing one more song. Would you stand with me this morning? I want us just to praise the Lord, and we're going to give a chance for any who may need to
accept Christ this morning, who want to pray and receive Christ in just a moment. But I want us to sing this song this morning. It's an old chorus that we used to sing years ago, but it's been on my heart all week. It's an opportunity for you to put into practice what we've just sung this morning, or prayed this morning. I mean, preached this morning. I kind of did all three, didn't I? In moments like these, I sing out a song. Hallelujah. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Sing it one more time. In moments like these, oh, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. One more time, lift it up to the Lord. Singing, singing, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. Lord, we love you today. Lord, we love, we absolutely love being in your house, coming together to praise and lift up the name of Jesus as one body, singing the songs of praise, lifting our hearts in worship. So, Lord, what a privilege we have been given a voice for. Lord, I pray this morning right now, Holy Spirit, look across this sanctuary. If there's somebody here today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, somebody maybe that's backslid, people can have you alive and vibrant in their heart at some time, and then through the cares and concerns and things of this life, they just grow cold and grow cool. And so, Lord, there's many times in our lives where we have to say, Father, I come back to you. Lord, I want to come back to you. I want to draw nigh to you. I want you once again to fill my heart, and I want to feel your presence and know that you're with me wherever I go. Remove the callousness. Lord, give me a soft heart toward the things of God once again. If that's you this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, will you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, you're talking about me. The Holy Spirit's dealing with me right now. Anyone, just lift up your hand and put it back down. We want to give you an opportunity to make it. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there another this morning? Thank you. I see that hand. Is there another this morning? You want to invite Christ just to, thank you. I see that hand. You want to invite Christ to either save you for the first time, or maybe you just need to get back with the Lord. Maybe you just know that you haven't been where you need to be and where you want to be deep down. Praise God. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Hallelujah. We've had about four or five hands this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing this song again. I just would like to invite those that raise their hand just to come down, kneel at this altar. There's going to be some people, myself, I'll be down here, Pastor Phil, and anybody else that feels led, we just want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. I don't want you to leave here and get robbed of what God wanted to do in your heart. Don't let the devil win. As soon as we begin this song, you're going to say, oh, well, and Satan's going to start talking to you. Don't listen to the dirt devil. Listen to Jesus. It can be a whole new day. It can be a whole new chapter beginning in your life. Just as we had last Sunday, we had Brother Jared and Lorraine came down and Wyatt came down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to sing this again. We're giving you an opportunity, and we just want to pray with you this morning. Let us come and pray with you.
In moments like these, oh, I sing out a song. I sing.
Singing out.
Isn't God good?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for these that obeyed the Holy Spirit's tug at their heart to say, hey, I need to get closer to God. And if you're here today and you wish you would have responded, because you know as you look at your heart, you peek down there and you go, oh, that shouldn't be there. That shouldn't be there. Ooh, I don't think the Lord likes that. I encourage you to find a place real soon to get on your knees before God and say, God, do something new in me. Forgive me. You don't have to be at an altar at a church to pray a prayer of repentance. My grandpa was on the side of the road in a bar ditch when he got out of his truck, because the devil didn't get in the cab. The Holy Spirit did. After 60, 70 years of running, and he got saved in the bar ditch up near Fairmont, Oklahoma, on his mail route. And his life was never the same after that. He went from Red Bull, or what is it, Red Chief? What's the tobacco? Red something or other. What is it? Red Man? Red Man. He went from Red Man to Wrigley's. He had tons of Wrigley's spearmint and peppermint gum in a certain drawer in their kitchen. And he went from never praying at the table to always being the one to pray at the table. Sometimes we could barely sit down. He's already after it. We go, ooh. He's already praying. I want to tell you, Jesus makes a difference. Jesus is real. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be worshiped. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, go with us today, Lord, as we leave here. May we go and leave in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And we love you and we praise you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.